Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today is episode 2 with Esther Lee. Esther is a full-time preschool teacher at Open Door Baptist Church in Raleigh. Hello, Esther.
Hello, Pastor Sammy.
It's so good to be with you. Today is episode 2. We want to know more about your seminary and church ministry experience at Open Door Church. Now, what is your concentration of study at Southeastern Seminary?
I'm currently studying justice and social ethics.
Okay. Why did you choose it?
I believe that there's just so much to navigate through in terms of culture and the church, especially for the ethnic church, too, when you grow up in that. There's a lot of questions that happen, you know. And so I think it's important to see what God says on these issues, on these ethical issues, and to also look back at what man has done in the past in historical times and how we can do better in light of God's truth and what he says about it.
Yeah. What are the values of studying at seminary?
I mean, I think in terms of practicality, the seminary is a great place of resources and networking and just so many ministry opportunities and just a place to be invested and to be equipped to labor for the kingdom. But I think this is something that I have concluded recently, but the true value of seminary is to come to a place of humility before God. Mm-hmm. It kind of beats you into that place because you realize that in actuality, you don't know anything. Mm-hmm. And that's the conclusion that many students just reach at the end of their time at seminary. And it's very humbling because we realize that God is God and that we are not. Mm-hmm. And that's liberating. And it actually helps you seek his wisdom better in that, I think.
That's great. Now, is there any Asian American focus or related training at seminary?
I think compared to a lot of seminaries that I know of in the West Coast, Southeastern specifically doesn't really have a lot of Asian American focus yet. And that is definitely something that I struggled with when I first got here. But I have talked with several professors and I'm very encouraged by Southeastern and what they're working towards. And they're trying to build a friendlier climate and atmosphere for Asian Americans and internationals in general and asking us how they can do better in terms of fitting our needs and catering to our needs. And I think that's where we start, okay. You know, having the conversation.
Okay. Do you see a lot of Asian American students on campus?
I would say I see more 1.5 generations or internationals more than Asian Americans. I've met a couple of Asian Americans, but I have not met any female Asian American students.
Okay. Do you see any difference between second generation Asian Americans and 1.5 Asian Americans and international students?
Oh, yes.
How are they different?
I would say that 1.5s, they are very interesting to me because they're much like second gens where it's like that pulling motion of tension of identity, but it's mostly Korean, but they're still progressing towards the next step of their identity in a way, whereas second gens, we are just in constant turmoil of our identity, and we just constantly feel misunderstood. But we also have more privileges, too, in understanding American society and navigating through American society. And internationals, they are very much just, like, very Korean or very Chinese. And so I think it's really easy to assume that we're all one of the same, but we are very much not. Even in language, like, it's so different, right. You know, because for me, I would say I have a more Konglish flair of, like, English and Korean hybrid, whereas 1.5s, they understand English, but they would lean more towards, like, using their native tongue, and internationals, of course, use their native tongue, and so just yeah, there's a lot of different barriers, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you're a full-time preschool teacher at your church right now. What are some exciting stories of what God is doing at your church life?
So, being a preschool teacher, it's really easy to assume that we're just teaching little babies. But it's really awesome because this preschool is a ministry opportunity for Open Door, because a lot of the families that come in, they're actually not believers. And so it becomes a bridge towards North Raleigh. And so a lot of families, both believers and non-believers alike, are coming in. So we get the privilege of teaching truth to these kids that may come from homes that where there is no truth. And we get to minister to these families. A lot of these families, they struggle and they're broken, and we get opportunities to serve them and love on them and minister to them, invite them to church and share the gospel with them. And so that is an awesome part of my preschool job. I'm also part of the food pantry at Open Door, and I love working at the food pantry because it also is another bridge to the rest of Raleigh, where so many people from different walks of life get to come through our church doors, and whether they are homeless or whether they just come from, you know, very tough circumstances, there's just so much leeway, you know, when we're providing food for them, we just get to love on them and just to, it's just so much opportunity to share the gospel, you know, and I think being a minority, and a lot of the people, a lot of our clients that do come in, they are minorities, and it kind of gives me a leeway too, just because I get to empathize with them in that too, in that struggle. And so there's just so much, it's rich with opportunity there. I'm also serving or part of the women's internship at Open Door. And that is really exciting because I'm getting invested and poured into. But I feel like being an Asian American, it also gives me a place where I get to speak on things and issues where they're limited in perspective. I get to encourage my sisters and brothers in Christ and how we can do better. And I think the internship has provided me that place in the church to kind of speak on those issues. And I'm also just going through discipleship training too with a lot of leaders. And so I'm getting opportunities to just disciple a lot of college girls and high school girls. And so, yeah, it's lots of things are happening at Open Door.
Sounds like you have a lot of hats.
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, when you minister to minorities through your church ministry, what type of minorities are they? Are they ethnically minority or sociologically, financially? Can you describe what type of minority groups you're ministering to?
Yes. There's a lot that's going on at Open Door because we host a lot of ethnic ministries, such as the Chinese Fellowship. We have the Congo Ministry, and we have the Spanish Ministry. And we are now starting the Korean Ministry. And a lot of the people that come through, like, the food pantry, it's more of, like, the sociological minorities where it's, like, different, like, demographics of, like, financial situation and social class and just geographical location. And then we have, like, a lot of internationals, like, in the Chinese Fellowship. We have a lot of exchange students. So we have all kinds at Open Door. And so, and I think sometimes that makes it the challenge, you know what I mean? Because it's really easy for us to kind of compartmentalize a lot of the different groups that are at the church. And so we can't minister to them in a very black and white way. We have to come to them where they're at, and we have to learn what that looks like too. So,
do you think there is a common need of these minorities? Whether it's ethnic or sociological minorities, do you think that there are some kind of common needs of those people?
I think a consistent theme that I've seen after interacting with all of them is they all just want to be known and heard. I can relate to that. I think we all can. Just as human beings, we desire and ache to be known and heard. But I think a lot of people, they get kind of intimidated by a lot of they have to go past their comfort zones in order to know these people, you know. They're just regular human beings, but there's a lot of cultural stuff and language stuff going on. It seems really messy, and you don't want to dive into all of that. And so they get kind of looked over, you know, a lot of the time, whether it's in the church or outside of the church, you know. So, yeah, that's definitely a common thing that I see.
Okay. Good. Now, you said this is your first non-ethnic or non-Korean-American church that you're serving.
Yes.
Now, is there any reason why you chose to work at the non-Korean-American church?
I have definitely attended quite a few ethnic churches in North Carolina as well. And I learned a lot through that experience too. But like I've mentioned before, I think when an ethnic church is so culture heavy, we get kind of a one-sided view in terms of the church and how we can better minister to those around us. And so I continued to pray about it. And this is actually a funny story, but I low-key started to grow a resentment towards Koreans and the Korean church a little bit. I think I was just really struggling with a lot of cultural issues in the church. And I vowed foolishly to the Lord that I would never interact with Koreans again. And this is a very like heated moment. But the Lord was so good in correcting my understanding of my heritage and to embrace it. And I think seeing a lot of the racial injustice happening in America right now, it kind of convicted me like, wow, I have my own racism towards my own people right now. And so I prayed, I was like, Lord, would you transform this bitterness into a burden for my people and help me to just lay my life so that I may become this bridge, you know, for Koreans and Americans and to relay your truth, you know, to both. And so a lot of the Korean churches I attended here, they were great, but they didn't have the resources that I needed in the moment. And I think coming as a transplant, I just really needed to get plugged into a church too. And so I continued to pray about it. And as I attended Southeastern, I was told about a lot of like different churches in the area. And so I tried out Open Door. And I don't think it was my initial decision to choose an American church over an ethnic church. I think it was for me. I just needed a church in the moment to get plugged in. But I came to Open Door, and they are a church that is heavy about multiplying and discipleship and church planting, and just a lot of their vision fit my vision, and I just wanted to be further equipped in that, and so that's why I committed to attending Open Door. So, yeah.
That's good. Now, how do you share the gospel and disciple other people? How do you multiply yourself?
I think that is still a challenge for me, adjusting to the Bible Belt area. Because whenever I go back home to Los Angeles, these opportunities just fall into my lap because it's very evident when people aren't believers and they're in need of the gospel. Whereas here, because I think in the South especially, we use a lot of Christian language, and so it's very difficult to navigate where people are really believers or not. And just being in the seminary community geographically, it's very difficult too, because to the non-believers, we are often rejected quickly. And we also struggle with getting complacent being in the bubble. And so for me, I started to pray for more opportunity, and that's when the food pantry became really awesome, because I got to meet people that were, you know, evidently struggling, and I got to empathize with them, like I repeated before, about our struggle living in a minority culture, and just kind of using that as a leeway to kind of speak truth into their life and to not just share the gospel to them, but to really build friendships and relationships with these people. And just going to community colleges where there are similar people too, where there are internationals and minorities that come and they feel very overlooked and not known, and simply knowing them and making the time and the investment to press into these relationships and then speaking truth and sharing the gospel into their lives. And I would say for discipleship, I think it, for me, I have more opportunities to do that like within my own church. And so with that, discipleship looks different for everyone. I think it's simply about, you know, showing one another where the bread is together. And so for me, I struggled with that because I think the ethnic church kind of spoiled me. In Korean culture, we have like that older brother or older sister design where it's very easy to tuck someone younger than you under your wing. Whereas in an American church, it's more program based. And so I struggled with that. But then I started to just really press into making more relationships and being more intentional. I think it's a huge struggle just because we think that because there are programs, everyone is covered, but they're not. There are so many people that kind of fall through the gaps of that. Mm-hmm. And so just kind of looking out for those people and, you know, meeting them where they are, and investing in them. And so, yeah.
That's great. Now, how can Asian Americans be involved more for theological studies as you do now and for the ministry?
I think that is a question that is still unanswered by many people. And I think it's so good to talk about it, though. Mm-hmm. You know, where can we start in that? And so just recently, that's what I've been doing, just meeting a lot of people, whether it's professors or ministry leaders or pastors, that are, about, you know, equipping students like theologically and providing resources and just asking them, what it looks like for us to provide that for Asian Americans, whether it's for the students that are already here or giving those opportunities to Asian Americans that don't even know of these resources. Mm-hmm. You know, I think attending the Asian American conference this past summer that you hosted, that was really encouraging to me because I realized how privileged I was to attend Southeastern when I saw a lot of, you know, peers around me that were so grateful for the resources that we're receiving. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I was just like, wow, like, I pray that we would, as a seminary, just hand those opportunities like out, like to like a lot of those people that are hungry for that, you know, to be equipped. Mm-hmm. And I think that starts with like better networking, definitely better networking with American churches and seminaries, with ethnic churches too, because it all starts by connecting together, mm-hmm. you know. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm still not really sure what it looks like. But I think as Asian Americans, we need to be bold in asking the questions. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's any reason why Asian Americans are not stepping up to come to the theological seminary or to be a full-time minister rather than being a going into a professional a secular job to make more to be more financially well off?
I mean, I know for me it was a huge struggle, and I think it still is for me to kind of compare myself to a lot of my peers. I know I have definitely received a lot of, you know, some judgment and criticism of like my lifestyle choices and investing more in getting more theologically equipped rather than, you know, becoming a doctor or a lawyer. Yeah. And other pursuits. And I think it's really... it starts in the household, and how, in believing homes, are we more culture heavy or more gospel heavy? Mm. You know, because that really determines like the values and the pursuits that your child is like, you know, seeking. And so a lot of the times, unfortunately, we are more culture heavy, and to fight what you grew up with, it's very hard to surrender. And I think sometimes I feel bad for the second gens and the Asian Americans, because sometimes it's just projected onto them that they don't know anything outside of that, you know, to kind of challenge what they were raised with and being like, okay, like, what does it look like to follow God? And if that means not following what my parents might think is ideal, you know, how do I navigate through that? And a lot of the times I think it's just, you know, about dying to self and going past our comfort zones, really. Because I still struggle with it. Not saying I'm over that. I still struggle with it. And so that's why I can really feel for other Asian Americans that aren't really stepping up, you know. But I think that's why we need to better encourage one another in that. Yeah. And to talk about it more and to make it more real for them rather than just an idea, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good words. What are some essentials for female Asian Americans to grow as leaders?
I think it's a struggle for single women in the church in general to do ministry because we don't really know what that looks like. Because there tends to be more opportunities, I would say, for married couples or males, just because there's more advantages of like leeway and just finances and investment. And so for me, I really struggled with giving into the atmosphere of fear that is often in the church for women. And I would just encourage like a lot of my sisters out there to really ask the Lord for humility and in to not dwell on what we can't do, but dwell on what we can do in the Lord, and to not give into the insecurities of that. And I would say definitely continue knowing and loving the Word and being in discipleship relationships and getting equipped, but also really be sensitive to the tensions and the gaps around you and like where you are, and to ask the Lord to reveal to us what it looks like to be faithful in those areas. Whether it's simply having a conversation with a leader or just serving in that area and providing your own perspective and your own experience to those people around you. Because I think God has blessed Asian American females so greatly because there's so much that we can bring to the table uniquely as women and as Asians. And the church needs that. We need that to bring to the table. And so to be bold and to speak on that, I would say is what I would encourage.
Well, thank you, Esther. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.